evening.
Good evening. Sorry I'm late.
Well, you're the first to arrive, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, it was so bright. I looked up. I didn't know it was already 6 o'clock or close to 6:30. It didn't look right outside.
The weather is very strange these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was dreary, and then it rained all evening, and then all of a sudden the sun came out. And when I looked up, it was, it just didn't seem like it was that time of day. I guess the time is finally showing itself.
Can I ask you a question?
I guess so. I hope I can answer it.
Well, you may not know the answer, but Maka sent me a text saying she has a new cell phone. But the text said it was area code 327 instead of 337.
Oh, she probably just, well.
So I was just wondering.
A mistake. I just picked up my phone. It was on the table. And I saw several messages, and I saw it, but I didn't read it. I figured after the class. It's maybe a typing error. It's so easy with these little phones.
Right.
But if she's going more, I don't know, she goes to Dallas quite a bit where her children and grandchildren are, and I don't know if right now she's doing that, and if Dallas's code is 327. We'd have to check on it.
I'll check.
Yeah. She may come on in just a minute.
Understood. In the meantime, let us move forward.
Okay.
We're in the Sulam commentary on the Zohar in Parashah Vayera, or Section 7, and we're starting with Pasuk 97 tonight. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kutsha Brichu Ishkin David Hilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino amadunai Elohinu alenu maasei yadenu kanunei alenu maasei yadenu kanuneihu. Vechama ha'ashta begin deit gezar. Ma dela hawa mahamei. Mikad mat dena adla it gezar. Mikad meta la hawa. Ya da ela de inun benenasha ulvatar yada de inun malakin tadishin viato vishlihuta legabeya vishata de amaru leya aye sara ishtaka tka Uvishru leya v'shorat Yitzhak. The translation. And he saw that they were angels, because after he was circumcised, he was able to see what he did not see before he was circumcised. At first he thought they were human beings. Later, he realized that they were angels on a mission from the Holy One, blessed be He. They fulfilled this mission when they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" and informed him about Isaac. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. An angel is given one task at a time. Why does Rabbi Ashlag say they gave Abraham the message when it was only one angel with that task? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, I was thinking, it sounds like right at first he wasn't quite aware. It was like he thought about it. If the angels were communicating to him by telepathy, then that would kind of let us see maybe one talking at a time, even though it's saying they said to him. I guess we don't know the word they.
We don't know which word it is. Mm-hmm. Although we might be able to take a quick look.
Or they might be thinking that, you know, how we know Raphael is the healer and bringing healing, and even though the three would be standing there, I mean, one could be speaking and you could still refer to them as a group in unity.
Correct. And it could also be that since everything has some form of hierarchy, that they refer to them as a group, as they, because the person with the task, the angel with the task of telling Sarah that she was going to get pregnant, have a baby son, that would have been, I would think that was Michael being the Chesed, and he would be considered the higher of all of the angels, so that therefore would mean the hierarchy, mm-hmm. and they all fall under his hierarchy.
I would think that's so. Mm-hmm. I did think that too.
Yeah, so that makes sense. One as an answer to the question I asked, but
mm-hmm. because Gabriel would have been the one with judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
That makes sense.
And Gabriel is always under Chesed, you know, Gabura is always under Chesed, so.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was come there to Uriel, I think it is. Yeah, to healing Abraham on the third day, so. Verse 98. Hey, love, at one, Nikudo, Daye. Excuse me, Ayo. The Siman, Ayo. Remez, Lima. Dile, La, Remez, Likud, Shabarihu. Wayomer hine ba'ohel, ketiv hakahine ba'ohel, uktiv chatam ohel bal yitzan, wegomer tachate kewan, denakudayo, amai ketiv levatar, Aye ela begin de chibura, idkar v'nukva, v'achadaraza, imhem nuta kidei namar, v'yomer hime v'ohel, taman hu kitshora, v'kola v'taman ishtakach. The translation, in the word elav, meaning to him, which appears in the verse, and they said to him, the letters with vowels are aleph, yud, and vav. And this sign, ayo, alludes to what is above, implying the Holy One, blessed be he. And they asked about him, ayo, literally, where is he? And he replies, behold, in the tent. This means that he was attached to the Shekhinah, because here it is written in the tent, and there it is written a tabernacle, a tent that shall not be taken down. Thus it refers to the Shekhinah, just as in the latter verse. Come and see. Because Ayoh has vowels already, why is it then written Ayeh, literally where? And he replies, because the secret of the faith is the union of the male and female as one. This is why they ask of the Holy One, blessed be He, where is He? Ayoh. And they asked of the Shekhinah, where is she? Ayeh. This means that they aroused him to form a union of the Holy One, blessed be He, with his Shekhinah. The verse continues, and he said, behold, in the tent, because therein lies the bond of everything, namely the Nukva, who is called the tent, and the Holy One, blessed be He. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. There are many questions to ask regarding this pasuk. Questions, comments, thoughts.
There was a lot there.
There is a lot there.
Okay. I mean, we've seen where the Shekhinah was referred to as He in some lessons maybe about a month ago. But when it said in the tent, I thought of our discussion a couple of days ago with in the mountain, you know, at the end
right.
of the last session. As if, you know, one would be referring to a higher level, the mountain, and the tent being the Shekhinah and the or Malkut, I should say.
It's really
the Hebrew for where. I should have remembered that. You know, we knew where and when. And I'm getting this IO or AO. And then the feminine form. Yeah.
But in the feminine form, it's still spelled the same. Well, it's spelled Ayeh. So
yeah.
what is it really showing you? If you look at the letters, Aleph Yud spells the word island. When it's talking about he or the, it's a vav. And when it's talking about she, it's a hey. And so they're uniting the vav with the hey. And that's built into the words.
Okay, yeah.
And that's really what the verse is saying, that the angels were uniting the two. And then they're giving you the explanation that the OL, the tent, is the female. Because it's a vessel, basically, a form of a house. So you see how all of it ties together, and it really begs us to ask these questions about the letters. And it's using the word remes repeatedly in the first line. And remes means the hints. It's part of the four levels of Torah.
Right, analytical, what we say. And you really see you've gone from Yad all the way down to Malkut, you know, from the spiritual world to the physical world with the unification, so.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's really powerful.
And I would suppose that that's really what Abraham saw. the revelation that he had when he realized they were on this, they were there for a spiritual reason.
Correct.
That they had a mission. Yeah. Okay.
Let's go to verse 99.
Okay. Somebody came on a while ago.
I didn't hear it. Is anybody else on? Let me check to see. Yeah, there is another person on. They just don't want to be identified, I guess.
No, it's me. My phone is messing up. If I mute, then it doesn't ever let me unmute.
Now I understand. But just for the record, whenever you have a thing messing up, some physical item, it's a mirror for you. That was a joke, Brandy.
Oh, no. I was just... Hannah and I have just been through this the last 2 days. So I'm just laughing. So here you go. Saying it all again.
You had the right. Well, I've got the swallows again this year. Like it bombarded me and tried to come in the house even. So if they do what they did last year, it was 3 weeks of fighting them from building that nest on my porch. And I haven't had time to do the Hebrew and the Gematria yet. And what's the message?
Understand.
I probably messed up too.
We all mess up. It's part of the process.
We're going to still stay smiling and laughing.
Amen. Amen. That's the key. Remaining happy.
And then come the first, we're going to be expecting miracles from our gym. But we have to do something.
Well, we have to initiate the miracles. So.
Right.
So in view of the miracles, I'm going to ask Brandy, do you know if the area code for Malka's phone number is a typographical error, or is that her new area code?
She said that was a new phone number.
Yes. But if you look at the area code, it's 327. And I've always known you, the majority of you, I never saw a 327 before. It was always 337.
Well, it must be a typo on your part for your phone, because I have 337.
You have the text you sent with her new phone number is 337, or you didn't see the text?
The text that she sent me was 337 for her new phone number.
Well, that clarifies it. Thank you.
Okay. What she may have done is typed each one individually rather than doing one and copying it and pasting. Yeah. Maybe. And see, I didn't, because I picked up my phone at the last minute and coming in here, I just saw Donna, new phone. I didn't pay attention to the number. And I thought I'd do that after, so I'll check too.
But it is 337.
Okay.
And have you spoken to her with the new number?
No, not yet, but I'll call her after the class.
Okay. Thank you. We're going on to Pasuk 99.
Okay.
And call me if it's 727.
Okay.
Call me. Okay.
Okay, I will.
Aye, Wigomer, Wiki, La, Hawo, Yade, Malake, Lae, Desara, Hine, Bao, Hel, Amai, Kiti, Vaye, Ela, La, Yade, the High Alma, Elama, Eat, Messar, Leho, Laminda tachate yavarti be'eretz Mitzrayim ani Hashem muki kama shalichin umalakin it leya lekudsha barichu ela begin dinun la yadei. Painti pa devukra lehu de la bukra bar kuchabarichu bilchodo. The translation of the question, where is she? Did the celestial angels not know that Sarah was in the tent? If so, why then is it written that they asked about her, saying, Aye, where? And he replies, the angels have no knowledge of this world, except what is given them to know. Come and see, for I will pass through the land of Egypt. I am Hashem. And he asks, the Holy One, blessed be he, has so many messengers and angels. Why did he have to pass through the land of Egypt by himself? And he replies, because the angels do not know how to distinguish between the sperm of a firstborn and that which is not. Only the Holy One, blessed be he, alone knows this. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Is a sperm identified in the body after birth? Can modern science identify a firstborn from DNA? Are records kept on which child is a firstborn? Is this on the male chromosome only? Questions, comments, thoughts?
I didn't get that at all. I thought because the poor portion called Bo, you know, come with me to Pharaoh, that he was, that Hashem was doing the work. but they're not focusing in on that. I can see that. But this about the sperm of the firstborn, that's new information.
it's more than just new information. It's also It's raising the question. First off, we don't know if the Hebrew word for sperm, which we can identify, it's usually something associated with Zara. With seed. But the English translation being sperm, but it's really how does Hashem identify a firstborn? And in the Talmud, it says, and also the Zohar, it says that Hashem passed over the land, and that the reason he came, just as this verse says, is because the angels are not able to discern between the firstborn and the other children. But it's raising the question. Obviously, Hashem knows sperm, he knows this DNA, as we develop science, but it's really hinting to us that there are things that our science does not yet know about DNA. And so all of these charts that people have been purchasing, and I know some of you have already done so, when you're looking at it and you're saying that I'm from such and such an area and this is the relationship of the various, you know, this is a cousin or or however the chart that comes back and you get this additional information, there's still information you don't realize. And it really is hinting without saying it, but what's built into the DNA is also your personality. It's also why your name is chosen by your parents, but it's not, as the Torah, the Talmud teaches, your name is chosen by your parents at that moment because the name represents your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that insight is given to the parents at that moment, and then it's gone. The name is given, and then, you know, the parents no longer have a reason why they give it. But the insight of connecting the name to the soul, and which is a firstborn, and whatever else, personality traits, physical health traits, all of these things that we don't even know. If you read any aspect of DNA, they talk about how the chromosomes have genes, and we know what the genes are supposed to do. We've identified some of the genes. But between the genes is there all this chaotic material that we don't know how to interpret. But it's not chaotic, because Hashem doesn't create chaos. All of that material that separates the genes is giving additional information, but our science hasn't grown to that level yet.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I know that they've tested like triplets and identical twins, and their DNA comes back that each one of them is different. They're not identical. The DNA isn't identical. And I know in my family, when I traced on my dad's side, that his people all came from Europe, and some of the names are the same exact names that my brothers were named and I was named. And so I know he wasn't aware of that, but I thought that was interesting.
It is, and you know, wait around another 10 years and we're going to start to understand, you know, the argument or the discussion is it nurture or is it nature? Is how you turn out totally controlled by your DNA? Or is it a function of the way you're nurtured?
Oh,
and that discussion isn't clear.
I think your DNA has a lot to do with how you're nurtured. It makes you do certain things, and then they nurture you that way.
And I can't argue one way or the other because I don't know.
Right.
Intuitively, I know this material that separates the genes. I know that has meaning, even though science has not yet determined what those meanings are.
Well, I've done a 15-generation chart, but way back like 2000, with one of my sides, with mother and daddy, you know. And like Brandy said, you see the same name showing up all along the chart.
Exactly.
You know. But I wonder,
does that mean it's the same soul?
I think it is. And I think what happens is they come in one capacity in one generation, like My brother's name, when I looked in the book, he was married to a person with my name. So we had some kind of cocoon together.
But the person with your name, was they born in a similar month?
I don't know. I didn't look. I just got the name. I just looked at the name. I have to go back and see.
And that's really what the...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's what the new, I forget what they call it, but how they're collecting all of this unlimited data, and they're going to be able to pull all this data together and analyze it. It's a new computer thing for the last 3, 4, 5 years. I forget what it's called. But when they apply it to the genes and to the DNA, you're going to find a lot of issues coming forth.
I'm going to have to hang up because the lady that came from a tape recorder to do something that you can hear. And so I've been hearing them, so I'm going to have to go.
Understood, but we're out of time anyway. So
anyway.
You all have a beautiful evening.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.